This morning, our scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 17, and the sermon this morning will focus on the latter half, the verses 9 through 17. It's a well-known chapter, I think, within the Gospel according to John, where Jesus described himself as the vine, we are the branches. And so that also, as you can notice on the theme, exactly what we'll be talking about, that fruit that he describes. Not so much focusing this morning on what it means on those words, but it is to remain in him and to abide in him, and yet at the same time not unrelated to it, more on what Jesus particularly teaches us about what it means to remain in him and what that looks like. And that we may bear fruit as the branches in the vine. So John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So far, the reading of God's word for us this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we just read those words of our Lord. It says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should remain. Fruits that will remain. Or the NIV would have a fruit that will last. Preach this sermon on this passage, very beginning of January, and we're getting to the very end of January now, but I thought it was still very fitting. This is the kind of topic that fits very well. First month of the year, first couple of weeks of a new year. Beginning of January was likely the time where people did think, well, what are our plans this year? What are we going to do? What kind of fruits may there be? What kind of growth may we expect, or hope for, or strive for? And now we're already a number of weeks in, I will ask the same question. What is the year going to bring? What kind of fruit? And will it last? Have we maybe already given up on some things that we really hoped for in January, the beginning of January? Or maybe more people who, 2025 is going to be like any other year. We've tried to bear fruit in, or have something that would, a habit that we would kick, or whatever, or something that we wanted to stick, but, you know, every year, it just doesn't work. Right, either way, one way or another, all of us, to ask ourselves that question, what does it take? What is it that allows for fruit to remain? What is it that allows for fruit to last? Well, it's no surprise that we live in a time when there is a lot of information that you can find, whether online or in bookstores, apps that will say, look, they know exactly how to help you. Set up good habits, break bad ones, tips, tricks, methods, and the like for anyone who is brave enough to say, hey, I want my life to change, I want to bear fruit of some kind. But here's the thing, almost all of them, or really all of them, are going to put the onus, the effort, all on you. You gotta find the right motivation. Something in you that really gets you going. You gotta find the means, the regimen, the routine that works for you. And you have to set the goals that are right for you. And a lot of it makes sense. You know, when we look at ourselves and say, yeah, only I can change myself. But here's what it does. It either tends to leave us incredibly proud when it does seem to work, which is generally also just setting us up for failure or some disappointment down the road, or it leaves us incredibly deflated when, again, we're unable to find the right motivation or find the right routine or find something that actually makes it work. And we wonder, maybe it's something wrong with me. Why can't I do this? Why can't I stick with this? So is there another way? Well, this whole chapter, John chapter 15, is about bearing fruits. And not surprisingly, Jesus, as he talks about this, starts at a very different point than we would expect. That we would bear fruit that will remain is really the result not of us focusing on ourselves, but on Jesus Christ. And as we'll see, as he says, as we focus on people around us. That fruit arises not by us finding the motivation within ourselves or the means or the goals, but, as this whole passage says, abiding and remaining in Jesus Christ. Embracing who you are in Him. And listening to the motivation, the means, and the goal that He provides. So that's what we'll look at this morning under that theme, a fruit that will last. And the first point of our passage is that bearing fruit is Christ-centered. And in these verses, what that means comes in full force in Jesus' continued call to remain in Him or abide in Him. And Jesus makes a number of points that just continually draw our attention to Him and away from ourselves. And first He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Honestly, this is where we see once again as when Jesus is preaching how packed His words are. The Father has loved Him, so He has loved us. Remain in His love. There is a sermon and a gospel of wonderful news in those words. It highlights that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. The Father loves Him. Jesus said, so I love you. Jesus makes it very clear that it is the love of the Father, the love of God, that makes the gospel that we, as sinners, as those who do not bear fruit, as branches that are dead, may actually bear fruit only as possible through the love of Christ, as Jesus' ministry and death will clearly show. But notice, as we go through this passage, what this verse of all does. It draws our attention away from, first of all, whatever we may think about ourselves, or expect of ourselves, the standards we set for ourselves, to consider this morning what Jesus has made clear to us all. And I love you. And I love you as the Father has loved me. And those aren't just cheap words. They're not just sentimental words. He says, I love you in the most precious and sacrificial way, as you will later explain in this passage, that I call you friends, and I lay my life down for you. And he says, remain, abide in my love. And here really we have the starting point of all that Jesus will say in the rest of these verses. It, at the very least, draws us this morning out of ourselves to consider what is the love that we abide in. So honestly, we do all have a kind of a default mode of operating. Right, whether that we recognize that in our thinking, we go back to, you know, we have to love ourselves, or we need to love with other people around us. Right, the default mode of comforting, saying like, well, at least I've done this, or well, at least I'm indispensable to so-and-so. That's not our default mode of how, why do we aspire to growth? To spiritual growth, or to change our lives? There's something in the back of our mind that is pushing us or telling us that we should, or perhaps saying, you will never. What is that default mode? What Jesus does is show us that by default it's always going to be self-centered. It's going to be about you. Even if you're here this morning saying, no, it's not about me. I always serve my family, or I serve the people around me, or I am one who is a people pleaser. And yet, you got to realize, it's still all about you. Notice even this morning, you may aspire to spiritual growth. You would wish to just bear fruit and be a stronger Christian. And to do that, where it's all in a way that it's all about you again. It's about you feeling better about yourself. You being, you know, more respected in the church. You being more spiritually deeper, that or wanting that, but in a superficial way. And the thing is that Jesus shows us and teaches us that the real problem is that none of us, by our default mode of being self-centered, can ever be truly spiritual or ever truly bear fruits. It teaches us, abide in my love. Let your mode of thinking, of comforting, of aspiring, of wanting growth to be my love for you. Remain, abide in a love that wasn't given to you because you proved to be worthy of it. Abide in a love that you don't have to earn. Abide in a love that is not going to fluctuate based on the kind of week that you've had. Abide in a love that's been given you because of grace. Because your shepherd laid down his life for the sheep that he loved. So this is the first thing we know. What Jesus says, fruit that will last, fruit that will remain, begins by abiding in the love of Jesus Christ for us. See, next what follows, those who abide in Jesus, abide in Jesus' love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So abiding his, or keeping his commandments is not what earns his love. It's very clear in all that Jesus says that his love is first and primary, but it is then what makes us keep his commandments. But notice again how it follows very well with what we just noticed. And again, Jesus draws us out of ourselves to consider him rather than ourselves. And we may have plans for the year, we may have plans for the coming months, we may have some ideas of the things that we would like to do, or the things we'd like to see, goals and ideas. Or maybe you don't, not quite sure. Maybe all the options or possibilities or the lack of them. You'd be wondering. Whatever it is, our default mode is always to imagine only those things that our mind can imagine. And Jesus again draws us out of ourselves and lays it out for us. Obey my commands. Obey my commands. What is that? Well, Jesus distills it into what we even call his favorite commandment, love each other as I have loved you. And we'll get back to that because Jesus will repeat that again in the verse 17. But it's at the contours for what lasting fruit is about. It's about obedience to Jesus Christ. As his disciples, as his students, as his people, the path for us to follow has been set. It's not up to us. We don't have to decide or get to decide what that's going to look like. If we want fruit that lasts, Jesus' words are clear. Obey me. Obey my commands. Do as I have done and as I have taught you. And I know you're here this morning, so likely you agree to this point. Yeah, obedience is required. Follow Jesus Christ. But we likely also know ourselves and the struggle that we have in following and keeping his commandments. So what do we do with these words this morning? It's maybe tempting to just, kind of casually overlook these words. Well, I can't really do this, so, let's go on and let's see what else Jesus has to say. Or do we dare to take these words to heart this morning? That truly for us to remain in his love means not only obeying Jesus when it's convenient, but obeying Jesus Christ and remaining in his love isn't just that you now get to decide willy-nilly or whatever feels good or seems good in your own eyes, but that you study his word, you listen to his voice, you apply that to your life, that it has direction, that it has purpose, that he is the way that you seek to live day in and day out. Would you acknowledge this morning there is going to be areas within your life that you are still living as if you get to decide yourself to do what feels good or what seems right? And that's a challenge to remain in Jesus' love. There's areas in your life where you're not following Jesus as he commands us. Aware you're breaking his commandment to love one another. We see that fruit that will last continues with a loving obedience for the commands of Jesus Christ. I don't take obedience serious in the way that it will somehow then earn Christ's love for you or simply just burden you with this heavy duty. Notice what he says right after this. The reason why Jesus gives us to pursue his commands. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Within John's Gospel, up to this point, Jesus hasn't talked that much about joy yet, but he will do so repeatedly in the following chapters. It makes us reflect, as Jesus talks about his joy, when you look at the Gospels, don't you see how Jesus' joy really did come from living for his Father? He found incredible joy in life in following the instruction and commands of his Father. He says, that to do my Father's will, that is my bread, that is my drink, that's what I live for, that what sustains me. He gives me direction. They allowed him to fulfill his mission. They set this divine, fatherly authority on all that he did. He's like, I'm not just here on my own. My Father is with me. And he has shown me what to do as I imitate him. He was secure in them. He was on task in them. He was himself in following the will of his Father. And Jesus promises that this is the way for us to share in his joy. And then there's no better way than to make fruit last, than to find joy in something. And this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. He says, remain in my love,
Obey my commands, and your joy may be complete.
Well, that's a tall order, isn't it? Think about this part as we read through these verses, when you see, yes, that's what Jesus teaches, and we see maybe, yes, this is what is good, and yes, we may also feel that obligation rising, that burden coming down. Remaining in Jesus' love is wonderful, but challenging. It draws us out of ourselves, and we need that. It also points out so many ways in which we fall short. We don't always obey His commands. We certainly don't always do that with joy. So what might Jesus say to drive us on to bear fruit that will remain? Listen to the words of your Savior. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord for you this morning. By faith, you are friends with the Son of God. You are the friends of the Son of God. Let's not put things in perspective. Whatever it is you have planned for this year, whatever you are struggling with in the first month of the year, maybe wonderful things. Now, it could be a marriage that you're looking forward to this year, the birth of a child, a graduation, a promotion, a holiday, a retirement. It doesn't really matter. Whatever glorious thing that is maybe coming down the pipe this year, I want you this morning to reflect on just the wealth and the beauty and the power of these words of Jesus Christ for you this morning. For you are my friend. What Jesus means by these words, he makes clear with a comparison to servants. He says, look, servants, they hear commands, but they don't get to know why. Just the master said so, now go do it. But friends, he says, well, friends are brought in. They receive explanation and instruction. They are given the bigger picture, made aware of the thoughts, the insights that are on the master's hearts. And within the Bible, those people that are called friends of God, whether Moses or Abraham, you know, that's always what happened with them. They were in the know. God revealed to them something about his plan and what he was about to do. And so it is with Jesus' disciples. Jesus is now telling them what will happen and how they will bear fruits. These aren't just bare commands to be fulfilled, but words of privilege and friendship with Jesus Christ. Do you notice what else stands out about these words? Have you ever had it where you did want to try the new year? And what did you do? What would maybe make the most difference if you don't do it with a friend? If someone is there that will hold you accountable, if someone is there will do it with you, someone will lift you up when you are down, or that you, to whom you must explain, this is why we do it, or this is why I do it. Will you continue this year as a friend of Jesus Christ? Will you remain in his love, obey his commands, be filled with his joy, and pursue it all because he has been giving you the wonderful privilege of knowing his will and his love and his joy and his heart and his sacrifice and his word for you? Here's where Jesus makes it even more emphatic for us. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should remain. And within this passage, it's reflective of Jesus' ministry, but also striking because it reverses the order. As a disciple, you would generally go and seek out a rabbi, saying, hey, he sounds like a wise man, I will go and follow him. But Jesus, no, he did it the other way. He says, you will follow me. He chose them and called them out. Jesus picks his friends, the friends, and he says, I will lay down my life for you. And you may know this. You may have some friends where it just clicked, and you basically both kind of decided, we'll be friends. But you may also have a friend who said, almost single-handedly said, we're going to be friends because I'm not letting you go. And I'm going to make this relationship work. Jesus reminds his disciples that that is what he did for them. He reminds us that that is what he's done for us. For this reason, he can give them the assurance that, yes, I've chosen you, and I've appointed you, that you will bear fruit that will last. He gives us that assurance. He has appointed them, he has befriended them, he has appointed them to bear fruit that will remain. He knows he will lay down his life for them. He's given them his commands, his love, his joy, and he will bring it all. That the branches may bear fruits. I expect that we all notice how challenging these words of Jesus Christ are, while also being so wonderfully comforting. Jesus says, I've chosen you. You did not choose me. It's that sovereign love, this powerful love that provides us a whole different view of how, why, and for what purpose we will bear fruit that will remain. Right? We will. Why? Because he has appointed us. We will. How? Following and be remaining in his love and obeying his commands. And all of this, it becomes so clear that as where we may focus on ourselves, where we say we have to find the motivation, we have to find the way, and we have to find the right goal, Jesus says, no, look to me. And I'll give it all to you. I have given it all to you. For I've chosen you. And then these verse is the last thing he says. It really teaches us what this fruit is. Aren't his commands? He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's his command. That provides us with the contours of what this fruit will be. And following the theme that we've been doing, it again draws us out, doesn't it? Draws us out of ourselves in a helpful and challenging way. A while back, I was listening to an author recall his training days. He was a diver, and he did that in, I think, high school or college, and he struggled with it because he was a perfectionist, and it's a very perfectionist sport, right? Any sport where you get graded on like an 8 or a 9 or 9.5, it's hard for as a perfectionist. And so he's often upset after another practice. He's like, look, it didn't go well. I didn't improve. Really should just give up and throw in the towel. But his coach was wise and would ask him, you know, first of all, like, did you improve today? You don't have to be perfect. Just, did you improve today? Well, he generally struggled to see his improvements because he was a perfectionist. But sometimes that helps. But if that didn't help, there was always another question. He says, well, did you make anyone else better in practice? Right? Did you have a point of encouragement for one of your teammates? Did you point out to something that, so you know, point out some wisdom that you had learned and tried to help them that way? Did you have any pointers that you shared? If you could say at least, yeah, I did. I tried to make other people better. The coach would point out, well, then it was a good practice. As Jesus repeats his commands for us in this context of bearing fruit that will remain, he seems to draw us out of ourselves again and open our eyes not only to him, but to the people around us. I even say that unlike his coach, Jesus turns those questions around. If you look at your life and wonder, is there fruit that will remain? Well, is there fruit that shows that you love the people around you? You'll bear fruit that will remain not by focusing on yourself, but by loving each other. But instead of us all here, growing all of our separate ways in pursuit of whatever that fruit may look like, he says the fruit will be that you come together. You come together in me by loving one another. It's such a different way of thinking about fruits and growth, but it's exactly what Jesus has already been teaching us, isn't it? Fruit that will remain is about the love of giving up oneself for your friends. Jesus has done for us. That's no different for us. We may not physically go lay down our lives, but how will you love the people around you in a way that may be sacrificial, that may call on self-denial, that may just draw you out of yourself to consider your brother or sister? So we make plans as we look for fruit. How much of it do we look purposely into loving the people around us? Whether that, if we're married, be our spouse, your family, your children, your friends, your family, your brothers and sisters in this congregation, your neighbors. Will it be something new? Do you realize that I've not done this? I have been putting this off. Will it be something that you were doing but have lacked in motivation and love for it? Could you think this morning of people in your life that may be facing particular challenges, and you may say, for fruit that will remain, I may love them through it. What we see in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ is that the key to bearing fruit that will remain is not found somewhere in us. It's found in Jesus Christ. His love, His commands, His joy, and His sacrifice for us. And it's grown in our attention and love to the people around us. It's only when we're drawn out of ourselves that God has appointed us to grow. It's exactly in that way that we'll be more and more resembling and like our Savior and truly remaining in the vine. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, truly the wonderful news it is to hear that gospel news. Not only that we know that we are saved, not only that we may bear fruit for you, but that we may have such a friend as our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, who is supreme. Yes, who is our Lord. And yes, Father, who has brought us into the know, has shown us His heart, has shown us the way that we may live, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we pray that each one of us, by faith, may remain in Him, may cling to that wonderful friendship and fellowship that we have in our Savior, that our hearts may be transformed, that instead of being bent in on ourselves, Father, we may be drawn out, first of all, to consider Him, to know of Christ's love each day again, and have that as our default setting in living life. To know of His commands that we may not really seek to go our own way, but to listen to Him, obey Him, that we may find joy. That wonderful, supreme joy of walking with an almighty Savior. And that, Father, we may know of Your wonderful sacrificial love for us. Help us then also to draw us out of ourselves, not only to consider Christ, but consider those people in our lives that You've placed there, to have a heart for them, care and compassion for them, to know also what it means to love, not just in any sentimental way, but to love in truth and in action, and to be willing to do so because of our wonderful Savior. Father, we pray that we may bear fruit that will remain. That it won't just last. It lasts for a period, but Father, that we may continually grow as we're grafted into the vine that is alive, the vine that is glorious, and that Christ truly would live in us. We pray all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen.